Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's time to talk with some friends about the news and stories of the week or whatever they think is the most interesting. Today in studio, I've got former city councilman Andy Terhar and Terhar Cronley Land Development. Is that the official name? What's the
Land and Buildings.
Land and Building. Okay. Andy, welcome back.
Thank you.
And a voice you haven't heard on news radio in a little while, but an old friend, emphasis on the friend, not the old.
you go ahead and emphasize old. There's reality here.
Dr. Charles Neal, who is now retired and sold off his practice. And, of course, you hear the person who bought it on news radio. But, Dr. Neal, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Good morning.
Great to have you. So let's start with just kind of an interesting little note news-wise. Have you seen the yacht at the port?
I've seen pictures.
The $100 million. How do you spend that much?
$100 million is a lot, but hey, I mean, you know, you get a pretty boat.
If you got it, flaunt it.
Right? I mean, if you can spend $100 million on a boat, you're not concerned about spending $100 million on a boat, right?
Yeah.
And this is the Archimedes, and it's some billionaire, and I heard somebody claim it was going to be open to the public in terms of tours or something. I don't think that's likely, but if that turns out to be true, I mean, so great. They got the tall ships coming or whatever.
Is the billionaire in town with
I don't think okay, so. But well, again, yeah. I haven't met him. It's moored down there and people are kind of like, oh, what's that? Well, that's $100 million a boat.
That's
what that gets you. We got a couple of things related to skateboarding that are interesting. The skate park is getting ready to open in about a week and a half or so. Are you excited, Andy?
I am very excited. I remember meeting with John Schell about that when I was on council. God, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago?
And, yeah.
And he pushed and pushed and pushed, and by God, he got it done. And good for him. And I'm super excited. I never was a big skateboarder, but it's great for a place where they can go and have fun and not worry about being, heckled or not heckled, but bothered by
right.
anybody.
A safe space to skate.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
You know, where you're not going to get in trouble for skating the rails. You're supposed to.
Exactly,
you know,
yes.
You're supposed to do things that might injure you. That's the idea. Now, as a chiropractor, Dr. Neal, but they're going to do it anyway. They might as well do it in a cool place.
Rules in my house were no skateboards, no trampolines. These are just inherent. Of course, if you want to drop back into the back in my day, old guy, that was when we usually literally took a pair of skates, bolted it to the underside of a piece of wood that you cut out with a hacksaw.
It's the same way today.
So, yeah, well, not quite. But but we lived on a hill where it truly was a suicidal move to try to make the run down. So I've seen a lot of injuries.
Yeah, the trampoline one is one that people don't realize until you get a kid on it and that something goes weird and they're going to the chiropractor for the next 3 months or longer. Yeah.
Or longer.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Speaking of skateboarding, I know you are interested in this, Andy, because when you were on council, you guys banned or voted, the council voted to ban skateboarding in the downtown core kind of area. And some of those things make sense, like at Veterans Memorial Park. I mean, obviously, you don't want to be skateboarding through there. But I remember Jewel Canada win and talking about the flipping and jumping and hopping and skipping and the dangers and all this kind of stuff. And that looks like it's getting ready to be undone. Casey Jones, city councilman, is bringing that forward next week. Your thought?
I do remember that. I'm trying to think now how I voted on that, because me thinking now, I'm like, I don't think I'd vote to ban that, but maybe I did. Casey's the person who took over after me, and he's doing a great job. And to be honest, as long as there's rules in place and you can't, do it in certain streets. I mean, we got scooters zooming around downtown, so why can't you be on a skateboard? I mean, definitely not Veterans Park. I think that's, and certain parks to a certain extent, there should be areas that are restricted. But, mine is, if it's a safe mode of transportation, then why can't you just go down the street or down the sidewalk or wherever it's legal.
Yeah, it seems like, at least sometimes when it comes to skateboarding, we're not trying to prevent skateboarding. We're trying to prevent the things we think comes with skateboarding.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is not the moniker. Damage of property, yeah. Vandalism, general
hooligans.
Delinquency. Yeah, hooligans, yeah. Hooligans.
And therein lies the issue is when it swings to the extreme, the guy who wants to ride the rail down the steps and jump the steps and do a flip. just like the scooters downtown.
That's right,
like the scooters downtown.
And you can fix that problem by making...
It's a completely reasonable form of transportation. And near about every time I have been downtown, I see people, it's like, oh my God, stop.
Right, and you know, we can fix the scooter problem by only renting sit-down scooters. You're not really going to fix the skateboard problem in that same exact way. That's right. It's the and you know, as a former skater, and I have to say it that way. I mean, I can still ride a skateboard barely, but and I will go enjoy the skate park when it opens. But I will say that, you know, I was never big into doing all of the different. I mean, I was an average level skater. But I always thought, oh, the man's trying to keep us from our fun, you know. And I see these things. It's like, you know, no skateboarding here, and it's kind of like the no U-turn signs. The no U-turn sign is always placed at an intersection where you ought to be able to make a U-turn
because people want.
Yeah. It's the same thing for like, man, this is the perfect place to skate. Oh, raspberries. Like, I can't do it there. So, speaking of skating, this just came as a complete surprise to me yesterday. I was listening to the county commission meeting, and Robert Bender talked about that they just resurfaced the roller rink out on the beach. So my question is, now, see, that's the look. Andy, how long you lived here?
42 years.
Did you know there was a roller skating public Escambia County-owned rink out on Pensacola Beach?
You know, like somewhere deep down in the back seat of my mind, I remember something about that, but I couldn't tell you where it is.
Isn't that crazy? You know? It's by the church, right across from the fire station. There's tennis courts.
I know that tennis courts were set up for the roller hockey.
Yeah, so you have tennis courts, and then you have the roller skating rink, and then you have the church.
Okay.
And same thing, like Candy, same thing. She's been here 25 years, and we just didn't. Now, you didn't know?
I had no idea until I heard the story. About the speed skating rink on Pensacola Beach, which it is gonna be apparently a huge draw and get some championships and you know, great touristically.
Yeah, this thing that they're building in Milton is amazing. I mean, it's an international competition level speed skating track, and it's gonna be fantastic. We had him on the show, and when we get that open, it's gonna be. Like, they're going to have the U.S. championships here.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have world championships
literally,
here. In Milton.
Literally in Milton.
That's wild. 8:46 here on News Radio 92.3. I've got Andy Terhar and Dr. Charles Neal here in studio with me. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Windhaven still backed up eastbound 98 from Parrish Boulevard back past 87 now near Topps Burgers. Not slow, but again, stopped. And the same two accidents causing the backup. 87 southbound, of course, backed up starting at 98. Langley and Davis showing a wreck. Lanes blocked heading north on Davis. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the wrap with Andy Terhar and Dr. Charles Neal. Have you guys seen the truck tickler? Have you seen the? That's what we're calling it.
I've seen the promo.
That's what you're calling it.
That was a listener recommended. I kind of like it. But the plan from DC Reeves next week, they're going to ask for permission for funding, basically from the city, to put up kind of an L-shaped apparatus on 17th Avenue north of and south of Graffiti Bridge that will have dangling. Now he calls them chimes. I don't know if they're going to play some song. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be, you know, like when you go to the drive-thru. You're going to hit the bar before you actually hit the McDonald's, okay? And that's the idea.
Can we get them tuned so at least it's melodic, you know?
It'll make you happy times. Yeah. So not the most aesthetically satisfying device, but what do you think, Charles?
Nothing is foolproof to a sufficiently talented fool. You know what? There's... Is that going to stop me from hitting the bridge? It may catch a couple. But if I know the height of my truck and I can see a sign as I'm approaching, is the tinkling going to stop me? I don't know.
Truck tinkler. I kind of like that.
The sufficiently talented fool is going to find a way around.
Will thwart your device. Yeah, no, fair enough. Andy?
I mean, I've seen those in certain places, and I've seen the alternate, which is essentially just a pipe that's hanging down that's a little bit more substantial. So when you do hit it, you'd know you hit it.
Uh-huh.
The bars that hang down with the chains and stuff, I think that's a subtle warning. And like I said, it may stop a few people, but it's still going to happen some. I don't know where they're going to put it south of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to have to be quite a bit away because that whole parking lot's there.
Right.
North of, I understand, but south of, it's going to have to be, you're going to be, you know, Cali 300 feet from it, and they'll hit that and kind of go, what was that, and maybe slow down, but then they'll go, oh, it's fine, and then keep going. So
it seems like the person who's oblivious enough And I understand, like, the GPS routes you this way. You know, like, you have, it's not just that people are stupid, okay? It, you know, and also the issue that the height of the bridge is not representative of the safe height for your RV because of the dipping and the bowing and the way, you know, the height of the RV against a stationary bridge is one thing, but when the wheels are raised by being on either side of the dip, I mean, there's actually some complications here that explain why some people run into it when they don't think they would. But okay, putting that aside, the person who's driving an RV towards that sign or towards the bridge hits those things. Is that going to alert them? I mean, frankly, I would like to see, and people have suggested this, what if you hit that and it makes big bright lights go off and something that actually catches your visual attention and says, stop, you know, which, where do you put that? And does that then get graffitied over if it's on the bridge? I mean, you know, like, how do you see, there is no such thing as a foolproof anti-fool device, right, Charles?
Absolutely. And I'm with you. The bigger, the better. I mean, we're about to go to catastrophic if I hit the bridge. So let me get something that's half catastrophic.
And really,
not wind chimes.
Yeah, maybe something more substantial.
Well, what we could do is reroute the whole train system so it doesn't go through there anymore. Just get rid of the bridge. I mean, we could do that. That's the extreme.
Sounds like an April Fool's prank or something. I don't know. It could.
Yeah, somebody could do that.
Could be something like that. No, it's I'm only lived here 9 years. Okay, I'm not a native, but I will also say this: I think we like things hitting the bridge. We like to share it on social media. I mean, for the people it happens to, it's horrible. And it's a public safety problem, and it takes resources.
Oh, yeah.
And it really is a bad thing. But won't there be at least some part of every Pensacolian that is sad thinking back on the day when, you remember when we used to have things hit the bridge? You know, like, there's, right? I'm not misreading people, am I?
Well, no, it's funny because my office is in the corner of 14th and Belmont. So whenever there is a truck that's stuck there, the southbound
14th
cars
Avenue.
Get rerouted on 14th. So whenever I know there's street. Always a truck sitting there because I can just look out my office door and there's a line of cars down 14th. Yep.
Must be something. Now, be honest. Do you ever get out and go walk over there to see?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, just
that's human nature.
I'm always afraid it's going to be an RV, and I feel really bad for the RV people.
Right.
The truck people, I feel bad for too. But man, if somebody has like a really expensive RV and they hit that thing, I mean,
it's not just the top of a box truck.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, do you think, this is always the catch-22. People don't think it'll work, which kind of makes them happy because they like enjoying the schadenfreude at seeing people suffer. But maybe it does really work, and then DC Reeves gets the reputation as the mayor who solved the truck strikes on Graffiti Bridge. Don't we miss them so much? You know, is that?
Well, I worry that eventually, is the bridge going to be taken out? I mean, you hit it enough times.
No.
No.
It's so sturdy.
Go study the I-beams if that on the underside of that.
Right. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if only Skanska had built the bridge as well as well as CSX built theirs. You know, you could have had a different outcome. Oh, man. 437-1620. Speaking of things the city is doing, looking at turning that warehouse 4, I think it's 4, on the port into a... Now, it's a sports facility that is focused on pickleball, but it would also work for, you know, indoor field hockey, volleyball, a whole bunch of other things. Again, you sat on city council. You know the wide-ranging variety of discussions about the port future, and uses of underutilized spaces on the port. Your thoughts about this deal?
Well, we talked about that several times when I was in council, because they talked about maybe doing a conference center there. They talked about doing other stuff because it's right there by the water and by the ferry landing. So, I mean, it can be a lot of good things. An indoor sports facility would be great. My daughter played indoor volleyball for 4 or 5 years, and the only tournaments we go to were out of town. There wasn't really any space to do it here. And so I think that'd be great if we could have a space where you could get 3 or 4 volleyball courts, or you could get, I think, 11 pickleball courts, what it is. 13, and you know, or maybe 3 or 4 tennis courts. That'd be great. Something we could have where we could make it a little more multi-use and utilize that building. That building's super old, and repurposing would be great.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I toured the port, it was Gulf Power was using that as random equipment shed storage. You know, it was like nothing was going on there. And yeah, the travel ball. You know, you're talking about relatively affluent people who are going to travel, and then they're going to spend money over the weekend. They're going to go to events. They're going to go to restaurants. They're going to fuel the economy. And they're going to see Pensacola. And they're going to do other stuff while they're in Pensacola. Maybe they're going to want to come back on vacation. I mean, that sports tourism thing, especially when it's not like at Ashton-Brosnahan Park, I'm not so much sold on that part. But right downtown, I have concerns about future port. Okay, I do. But that plan makes great sense to me. Charles, your thoughts?
No, anything, I mean, get like the world-class speed skating rink that's being built in Milton. Anything,
you're right.
Anything that brings serious sports tourism to town, as long as they've got sufficient parking, as long as the surrounding facilities can handle it without stressing out the whole game,
right?
Absolutely.
Why would you mention parking? Parking downtown is great. Everybody loves it. It works like a charm. There are no problems and nobody ever complains.
That,
right, Andy?
That email.
My app always works every single time.
that email I got about my illegal parking, we didn't boot you because we weren't manned that night.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I see a red sign, I don't go there, period. I was out at the beach. I've told the story before, but I was out at the beach for an event at the Hilton, and the Hilton was full, as it always is. So I went across the street to the lots that are in between all the strip malls and stuff there, and they had, in the last month since I'd been there before, they had converted to red lots. I'm like, oh, no, absolutely not. I'm not parking. I don't care what the cost is. I don't even need to know. It's 10 cents. I don't care. I'm not parking in these
lots.
It
ain't cheap.
Yeah, well, and I figured it would be, you know, fairly expensive. We've got another quick traffic break in here. We're talking to Dr. Charles Neal and Andy Terhar, former city councilman, on the wrap. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Windhaven's still backed up. Eastbound 98 from Parrish Boulevard back to past 87, past Topps Burgers. It was stopped. It looks like it's starting to move now, just again, real, real slow. 87 southbound, obviously backed up. The same reason, starting at 98. Langley and Davis showing a wreck, and lanes blocked heading north on Davis and westbound on Langley. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Andy Terhar and Dr. Charles Neal. One of the other things, you mentioned it in passing, but I want to ask your opinion. The ferries came in while you were on the city council.
Yep.
I said at the time, I really hope they're successful. I don't believe they will be. And there was a lot of people that said, do you remember the Ferris wheel? You know, and of course, we had Sally, and we had a massive disruption in the service of the ferries, and they're back operational now. Are they working? Is it helping? Is it a net good thing?
I think it's a great thing. I don't know that they're working in the sense that enough people are riding them, because they are expensive. And,
yeah.
And so it's hard to get ridership unless you can spend basically a whole day going around and going to Fort Pickens and going to the beach and maybe coming downtown. And if you spend a whole day doing it and you paid $18, or it's $18, I think, that's not that bad. But if you just want to go from downtown to use it for transportation, yeah, it doesn't really work that well. I have a big family reunion coming in next month, and we're going to have one day where we're standing at the beach, and we're going to go from the beach into downtown on the ferry. And we're only doing it so they can get a sense of Pensacola Bay and everything. But,
sure.
You know, we would probably just drive in if we had to. But, you know, it's a good system. It really, really, I hope it stays. I hope it works. But it's tough. And I think they're subsidizing a lot. And when I say they, I think it's whoever's running it. I don't think they're making any money.
Yeah, I don't know the financials. I haven't asked recently. I probably ought to if I'm going to talk about it. But that was always my sense, is this can't possibly be profitable. I mean, we had the first operator left because they couldn't make it profitable, right? And so, Charles?
No, it's all a question of, does this become a public subsidy problem? Like, I mean, there are things that are worth subsidizing. You know, the bus system needs subsidies, and it's important to have mass transit.
It's always been in some form or fashion,
and it's always good to tweak it. Could we get by with a smaller bus on a couple of routes or whatever?
Right.
You know, and the Bay Center. All right, it needs subsidizing, unless we can work on it and make it self-sufficient. So what's the public need?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I know part of the plan, the original plan, people might not remember, but the original plan was, when we abandon Fort Pickens Road, this will allow us to abandon Fort Pickens Road, and we can turn, you know, Fort Pickens into an island, and we can get rid of RV camping there and move to the glamping. And I mean, all of, like, that was the plan, because in other places, when, you know, nature encroaches and things turn into islands, they use ferries to get out to those locales. It's not that rare of a thing. You know, other places do it. And I think the thought at the Park Service, the nationwide was, well, that's what's going to happen here in the cost of rebuilding Fort Pickens Road. We pitched a big stink about that. The Trump administration was on board with preserving it so far. The Biden administration has been on board with preserving it. The new park director says he's on board with preserving it. That was always the kind of the justification for the ferries, was that. And if we don't have that sort of need, because people would much rather drive their cars, you kind of wonder, we're like halfway. We're halfway in between the two situations when we have them right now. One of the last things I wanted to talk about with you, and I'm particularly interested in your take on this, Andy, because you served in a chair where you didn't have an R or a D behind your name. Mm-hmm. You were a nonpartisan city council member. One of the things we're going to get to vote on is going to be partisan school board races, R's or D's. Oh, we're totally out of time. Do you like the idea of voting R or D for, like in the primary for school board?
If it could get more people to run for office, then yes. I think that will do that.
Okay.
But yes, if you can get more people to run, then I'm all for it.
Quick thoughts, Charles?
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my take has been they are already partisan elections. We might as well acknowledge the fact, basically. Andy Terhar and Charles Neal, thanks for the time, guys. Have a great weekend.